Genesis chapter 45 is the portion of the scripture, if you know a little bit about the story in Genesis of Joseph. It starts in chapter 37 and it goes through the end of the book of Genesis. And there's some special things that I want us to focus on today, simply because there are issues that Joseph deals with that we can learn from. A lot of times, things go our way and we see where people get sick, we see where people have all kinds of issues and struggles and battles, and we get caught up in the fact that we get distracted. And I say this from time to time. Sometimes we say, and we won't say this, but we'll kind of cop an attitude and kind of look at the Lord and say, "You're doing it all wrong. I don't deserve this. This isn't how it's supposed to be." And we have a tendency to look at him like that. And I'm not saying I have the same tendencies. When something happens that I'm not expecting, and I'm looking at him and saying, "Lord, you're not following the script that I wrote. Don't look at me like that. You guys do this too. You want things to go the way you want them to go." And the truth is, very seldom does God's plan follow our script. In fact, it never will.
That's right.
Because he's God. He knows so much more than we do. And he's got it all figured out. And what we have trouble doing is realizing that he's got a better plan. Always he's got a better plan. Now, if you know the story of Joseph, you know the story that Joseph was actually sold by his brothers. If you read chapter 37, you'll see at the beginning of the chapter, it's the fact that Joseph always gave his brothers, told his dad what his brothers were doing wrong. Said that, hey, he was a tattletale. Now that started things off bad, but guess what? His brothers should have been doing right. And then he had the dreams, and the dreams gave an indication that they were going to bow down to him, and oh, they couldn't see that. Here he was, out of 12 boys, and the first was Reuben. He was the heir, and the only way that the heir gets the first dibs of the inheritance, Joseph was number 11. There's nothing, no special consideration for the 11th child, 11th son. He would get leftovers, probably at the dinner table too. And so what happens is they couldn't imagine the 11th child, the 11th son, getting anything special and them bowing down to him. And then that's what, and then it says that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other sons. Now, where did that start? Well, if you go back, you'll see that Isaac and Rebekah, they had favorites. Remember, Isaac favored Esau. Because of his venison, because he was a hunter, because he liked to eat that wild game. Rebekah, their mom, loved Jacob. So now you're seeing favoritism on both sides. Mom has one favorite and dad has the other. So that's the way Jacob grew up. So he's got a favorite. And you can understand a little bit about that, because Rachel was the one he wanted to marry, not Leah. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I want you to see the animosity that's building between Joseph and his brothers. And then finally, they were about to kill him. He was sent on a mission by his dad to check on his brothers. And they saw him and they said, here comes that dreamer. What we're going to do, we've got our chance now. And they were going to kill him. Why didn't they kill him? Because God had a plan. Hey, you and I are still here. I've had more close calls with death than I can count. I had pneumonia. I'm an asthmatic to start with. I had pneumonia 7 times by the time I was 8 years old. And if you figure that, in the early 60s, it was kind of not real good to have pneumonia for a child that already had breathing problems to start with. Then I've had 2 head-on collisions, survived both of them, one of them with a semi in 1974, and then another one in 2001. I had an asthma attack in my living room in 1990, almost 30 years ago now, right at Christmas time. Both lungs collapsed. I died in my living room, and the doctor brought me back. They brought me, hey, I shouldn't have survived. You know why I'm here? God's got a plan.
Amen.
God had a plan. And I want you to understand, there are a lot of times in our lives that God protects us, and sometimes he doesn't even let us know it happened. God's protecting Joseph. And his brothers wanted to kill him. They didn't kill him. They sold him into slavery. He ended up going to Egypt and being purchased by Potiphar, one of the rulers there. And he decided he was going to make Joseph the head over his house. And Joseph was doing good, and Potiphar had Joseph over everything that he owned, except his wife. And then Potiphar was gone, and Joseph had the eye of Potiphar's wife, and she wanted to have sex with him. And he said, no. And he said, I would not do this thing against God. I want you to understand, Joseph understood some things that a lot of people today don't understand. Every sin, whether you do it to somebody else or whether it has nobody else involved, every sin is against God.
That's right.
Because it violates his principles, his laws. And Joseph refused. And then what happened is she said that he tried to attack her. She had his coat. She grabbed his coat one day when nobody else was in the house, and he ran out and she had hold of his coat, and she said that he attacked her. Potiphar didn't have him killed then, but had him put in prison. Now, I want you to think about the situation for Joseph. All of a sudden, it was bad enough to be sold by his brothers. Now he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of doing something that he didn't do. And now he's in prison. And all of this was God's plan. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses here in chapter 45. Starting with verse 1, it says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And my brethren, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I just pray for you just to move in a special way. Let your Holy Spirit have his way in the service today. Lord, you've got a message for each of us. And Lord, we're counting on you to teach us. We need you to teach us, not the preacher. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. One of the things that I see here is the fact, and the part of the story I left out, because Pharaoh had a dream while Joseph was in the prison, and Joseph, one of the Pharaoh's butler, was able to get his dream interpreted, and he told Pharaoh about Joseph, and Joseph and Pharaoh met. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph was put second in charge. He was vice pharaoh in Egypt, going from the prison to the palace. I'm going to tell you something. Only God can do that.
Amen.
Only God can do that. And what I want to bring to you is the fact that Joseph has been testing his brothers through the previous few chapters here. And Joseph has been testing them to see what kind of men they were, because he's been away from them for about 20 years. And he wanted to see if they'd changed. But I want you to get this in the fact that Joseph refrained from telling his brothers who he was for a while because he was testing them. How hard would it be to see your family after they'd done all that? And then Joseph had a good attitude about it. He refrained from not only telling them who he was to start with, but then he refrained from hurting them. Think about it. He lost his family for 20 years. He was in prison. He was in another country. His brother, whole brother, Benjamin, he had not seen. His father, he had not seen in 20 years. All because of his 10 brothers. His older brothers. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. I want you to get this in the fact that how on earth could God allow something to happen to this young man? And why? I want you to understand, because God had a plan. But what gets me, I guess, is the fact that Joseph, not only did he refrain from telling his brothers who he was for a while because he was testing them, but he refused. I want you to get this, because when tough times come, and they happen to all of us from time to time, we lose loved ones, we lose jobs, we lose situations, no matter what it is, health issues, tough times come to all of us eventually. But Joseph refused to become bitter. I want you to get this. When tough times come, you have a decision to make. You have a decision as to whether you're going to let it make you bitter or you're going to let it make you better. Because every trial comes our way, and God allows it to come, right?
That's right.
Nothing happens to you that doesn't come through God's hands.
Amen.
And so what we need to remember is God, a lot of times, now sometimes there are several reasons for storms. Number one, sometimes storms come our way because we've done something bad. It's consequences of bad behavior. Number two, sometimes a storm comes in our life, a struggle comes in our life, because it's just part of life. Not because you've done something bad, not because you've done something good. The Bible says that God allows it to rain on the just and on the unjust. This virus that's taking place in our country and in the world, hey, a lot of good people have died from it.
Right.
Some people have survived. Most people survived, by the way. But a lot of people, there have been a lot of people dying. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and say this. Some people might not like it. But I do not trust the numbers. Okay? I do not trust the people that put the numbers together. Okay, I've heard too many stories. I saw one, and it said that this group of six people went to get tested at one time, and the line was so long, they said they would come back the next day. They filled out their name on the list, but they never got tested. A week later, all six of them got a letter back in the mail that said they were positive, and they didn't even get tested. There's a lot of hanky-panky going on in them numbers. And there's a lot of people you cannot trust. I want you to understand, I'm not saying that the virus isn't dangerous. I'm not saying that it doesn't cause harm. But you have to be careful, because there's a lot of people doing some sinister stuff, taking advantage of this situation.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going to get back on task. But I want you to understand, we need to make sure that we understand that when trials come our way, it could happen because of a bad situation, because something we did. It could be part of life, or it could be training ground. God could be testing us because He wants to see who we are, what we do, how we do it. But I want you to get this too, in the fact that God had a plan. God's plan had to do with number three. Number one was refrain. Number two is refuse. Number three is rescue. God had some lives He wanted to rescue. He knew that, and I want you to get this in the fact that here is Pharaoh in Egypt. Here is Joseph in Canaan. Hundreds of miles apart. How is God going to put the two of them together? Because He's going to give this dream to Pharaoh. And the only person He can trust, I want you to get this too, the only person He can trust to not get bitter and to interpret the dream is Joseph. And He has to get Joseph from either Pharaoh to move to Canaan, which He's not going to do, because Egypt was where they were going to have plenty of corn. They were going to have a multitude of a bumper crop for 7 years. So how does He get those two guys together? He had a plan. Even though Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, that was part of God's plan. Even though Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, that was part of God's plan. Now, you say, well, why was he in jail, in prison? Because there were two men in prison that had close relations or close ties to Pharaoh, the butler and the baker. And they both had dreams the same night while they were in jail, in prison. And they were fretting and they were trying to figure out things. How on earth is this? What's this dream all about? The butler told him his dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream for the butler and said, in 3 days you're going to be restored and you're going to be back in the palace serving the Pharaoh. And then the baker said, well, his dream was good. maybe my dream will be good too. So he told him his dream. He said, in 3 days, you're going to be hanged by Pharaoh. And I'm saying all that to say this. It was a series of events that took place that God put all together. You and I need to understand that nothing escapes God's notice.
That's right.
He's all in the details. And so he's getting, working on Joseph and making Joseph, he's putting him down to the dungeon, to the prison house. But then, all of a sudden, from the prison house, he's moved to second in command in all of Egypt. By the way, if you study it out, I want you to get this in the fact that there's no better type of Jesus Christ in the Bible than Joseph. I want you to get this in the fact that chapter 37, it talks about the fact that Joseph was sent by his father to check on his brothers. Well, what about Jesus? He was sent by the Father to a far country just like Joseph to check on his brothers, the Jews. Not only that, but he was falsely accused. He was attacked by his brethren. He was betrayed by his brethren. What happened to Jesus? He was betrayed by his brethren, the Jews. Not only that, but Jesus was in prison. He was falsely accused, just like Joseph was. He did nothing wrong, just like Joseph. But get this, he was a prisoner, just like Joseph, Jesus was. And then, where does he go from the prison house? To second in line in the universe, under the Father, right hand of the Father. Hey, there's a lot of other details that I'm leaving out here, but I wanted you to bring this. I want to bring this out in the fact that we need to realize that sometimes God allows us to go through tough times. Sometimes tough times are hard to deal with. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I need your help. Hey, sometimes He allows things to happen to us because we forgot how much we need Him. And realize, hey, without Him you can do nothing. Without Him your heart won't beat. Without Him you can't draw a breath. Without Him, like a lot of people in our country, there are a lot of people without Jesus, and that's why they can't process thought properly.
That's right.
Amen. You'll get that in a minute. But anyway. But I like the story of Joseph in the fact that we need to remember that when things get hard, God has not abandoned us.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
He's there with us. He's not abandoned America because of the virus. Even though a lot of governors and mayors and city council and county governors or county commissions and all have turned their back on God and decided the church wasn't that important. I got news for you. You're picking a fight with the Almighty if you say something stupid like that.
That's right.
Jesus was the one that started the church, right?
Amen.
It's His. Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. His plan was for everybody to get saved and join one of His churches.
That's right.
Not every church is His church, by the way.
That's right.
Okay. I'm not politically correct, okay? I'm just shooting it straight. We were talking to a young lady yesterday, and I told her, I said, I'm not going to be a fair weather friend. Fair weather friend's going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not a fair weather preacher. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I'm going to shoot it straight. I do not try to make people mad, although I make people mad. Okay? But the Bible says, woe unto them when all men speak well of you. Some people can't handle the truth. But Joseph is one of those people in the Bible that we need to model our life after. Not only was he refrain, not only did he refuse, he refused to become bitter, he refused to quit on God, he refused vengeance. I want you to think, here he was, he could have wiped out all of his brothers right there. You guys, now it's payback time. Hey, some of us would seriously consider that. 20 years of my life has been spent in Egypt, but Joseph understood it was God's plan all along.
Amen.
He could have got back after Potiphar's wife, strung her up. He could have got upset with the butler for forgetting him for 2 years before he mentioned him to Pharaoh. But what happened? He was rewarded. Not only did he refrain, not only did he refuse, not only did he rescue, but he was rewarded because he was moved up to second in command. My concern is with us, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God's got a plan. And we cop an attitude. Do you realize how many people would have died because of that famine? 7 years of famine. If Joseph had copped an attitude and decided, no, I'm not going to be used by God. Why did you let this happen to me, God? This is not right. I should be home with my dad and my brother, and I don't deserve to be here. I want you to remember, Revelation 4:11 tells us, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Amen.
You and I were created to please him, not us.
Amen.
And we get that turned around a lot of times. And the only time you're going to be the happiest and have the most joy is when you're living in such a fashion that you're pleasing him.
That's right.
Joseph understood that. He didn't at first, probably. But every step of the way, he had a decision to make. When he was sold by his brothers. When he was bought by Potiphar. When he was framed by Potiphar's wife. When he was in the dungeon. And every step of the way, you'll read, the Lord was with him. Why was the Lord with him? Because he stayed close to the Lord.
Right.
He didn't cop an attitude. He allowed the Lord to use him. When we cop an attitude, the Lord can't use us. And I know we all go through those times. When my dad passed away, I was 26 years old. And my dad passed away. And he was my best friend. My children were young, 2 and 4, I guess, at the time. And I knew that my kids would never remember their dad or their granddad, and it bothered me, and I copped an attitude. I'll be honest with you. I copped an attitude with the Lord. because I hated it. Even though Dad didn't take care of himself, he was a smoker. He didn't watch his health. But I copped an attitude for a little while with the Lord. But it was through that I got saved.
Amen.
And it was through that I realized that something good came out of something bad. And when God's doing something in your life, He's working. Do you realize? How many of you like to have some good biscuits?
Amen.
Hard to find them anymore anyway. But you realize that it takes breaking an egg or two, and it takes flour, you take salt, you take the milk, you mix it all together. You know, that probably doesn't feel good to that batter. All that mixing, it probably hurts. You know, that's what God's doing in our life sometimes. He's putting this in here, and He's putting that in there, and He's putting this in here, and He's mixing it all up. Oh, Lord, this sure does hurt. I hate going through this. Hey, but something good comes out of the back, on the back end, right? He's got it figured out.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through, Jesus promises He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He promises, if you're saved, if you've been born again, He promises, He says, I will in no wise cast you out. He promises, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He gives us a guarantee. And truthfully, I was mentioning to the young lady yesterday, this world, a lot of times we forget it, this world is our hell. Okay? We're really not supposed to get too comfortable here because we're not going to stay anyway. Amen?
Right. Amen?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we sang that a while ago. But we shouldn't get too comfortable here. But this is our hell. This, if you're saved, if your name's in God's book, in the Lamb's book of life, this is the worst you're going to see. For those that aren't saved, the people we try to win, the people we pass out tracts to, hey, those people that are going crazy in our country and in our world, this is their heaven. This is the best they're going to see. They've got hell to come. And so what we need to remember is, hey, we're not supposed to enjoy everything here. It's not supposed to be all peaches and cream. It's supposed to be a struggle sometimes. By the way, when you go through a struggle, people are watching you. They're watching on how you handle it. And guess what? Sometimes we don't handle it too well. Sometimes we hurt the testimony of the Lord by the way we whine and carry on. But the most important thing for us is to remember, no matter what we're going through, we're not going through it by ourselves.
That's right.
Now, if you are not absolutely sure that your name's in the book of life, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Jesus has already done the work. You don't have to do anything except call on Him with all your heart and ask Him to forgive you and save you. You say, that's too simple. You know, a lot of people are going to miss, most people are going to miss heaven because they think it's too simple. But there are a lot of people that would try to do this and try to do that. if Jesus told them, you got to do this, you got to be baptized, and you got to be in church every time the doors are open, and you got to tithe on everything, and you got to give offerings. And hey, he doesn't say that. Your good works, your church membership, your baptism, none of that's going to help you get to heaven.
That's right.
That's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He's done the work. And he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And it just breaks my heart when I see somebody say, no, we had a lady yesterday we'd stop and talk to. Not right now. You can't do any more than that. You give them an opportunity. But one of these days is going to be the last day. Last day that you can get saved. The most important thing is to get it settled. Get it settled today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that even when things seem to be going wrong, you've got them going right. Even when struggles come our way, and they do, Lord, I thank you that we don't go through them without you being right there. And Lord, I'm glad, so glad, that you're my God, that you love us, and you watch out for us, and you protect us. And one day, you've got a place for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a joy that's going to be. But Lord, you've still got us here to do the work. You've still got us here to make a difference. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, they don't know for sure that their name's in the book of life, 100%. Lord, let them get it settled today so they don't have to worry about that awful place. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Hymn number 500, Pass Me Not.